Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis. With Jay Tarsis, Sophie Thompson, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Felicity Montague, Tony Morsley, Susie Blake and Andy Hamilton.
My name is Samuel Oliphant, merchant in comestibles, snuff and sundry gee-jaws. And this is my journal, this fifth day of March, in the year of our Lord, 1770. These are turbulent times in the port of Baltimore. Revolutions in the air. Red coats are everywhere. And I set down these words as a chronicler, purely for the benefit of posterity and not for any financial gain. Though should any monies accrue from the sale of this journal or any exploitation thereof, including any Samuel Oliphant puppets, jugs, or amusing candles, well, then that would be...
Oh, Samuel, aren't you serving customers today?
Yes, in a moment, Mrs. Arbuthnot, I'm just...
I haven't got a moment. How much is this pea?
One pea. See, we normally sell them in pods.
Oh, well, not sure I'm prepared to commit to an entire pod.
Mrs. Arbuthnot, every day you come into my shop and ask me the price of, for example, a grain of rice, when both you and I know that you have no intention of ever purchasing anything.
Well, that's not true. I bought some once.
Yeah, May 16th, 1748. My father told me about it. That piece of string which you returned the next day, bloody from your pulled tooth.
Your father rushed me into that purchase. He was a bamboozler, God rest his soul. What's the matter with this bread? It's deformed.
It's not deformed. It's a pretzel. It's German.
Oh, that explains it. I'll not have one of these.
Yeah, well, of course not. But please, feel free to finger the rest of my merchandise. I think there's a plum over there that you might have missed. Here, let me squish it for you.
Oh, look, Samuel, your cup runneth over. Lots of customers, see? The aptly named Mrs. Breedlove and her brood.
Oh, God. Yeah, hello, Mrs. Breedlove. I wonder if you could warn your youngsters to steer clear of that stack of eggs, because... Yeah, well, essentially because of that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Samuel.
No, think nothing of it, Mrs. Breedlove. It can't be more than 1,000 of them. I can scoop it up and call it an omelet.
Ethan, get away from that mess.
I'm not Ethan. I'm Edgar.
Well, where's Ethan?
Aren't those his feet sticking out of the molasses barrel?
No, that's Charlie or Simon. Oh, Samuel, there's no rest for the weary when you've got 17 children.
Thought it was 19 children.
No, I count the triplets as one.
Have you heard what's been happening in Boston, Mrs. Breedlove?
Oh, yes, it's bedlam. Apparently the British disguise themselves as monkeys and seize the firstborn from every settler's home.
And boiled them down for jam. I heard that too.
Innocent baby jam. Oh, damn those British monsters.
Yeah, well, Boston is certainly a powder keg. We should be thankful there are no bogus monkeys or baked babies here in our tranquil corner of Baltimore.
Death to King George!
Death to King George! Death to King George!
Who are all those angry people in the back room?
Well, that's just my daughter Mary and some of her friends.
Why are they shouting, death to King George?
No. They're saying health to King George. It's health. Sounds like death, but it's quite the opposite.
No, I could tell. I heard them. And I know there's a big reward for information leading to the arrest of troublemakers.
Well, aren't you a smart, egg-covered little boy?
I'm not little. I'm going to be 12 next year.
Oh, I don't think so. Excuse me for a moment. Are you people insane? Mary, they can hear you in the shop and presumably all the way to the Red Coat Barracks.
Let them hear us, Father. Freedom can't be silenced. Yeah. Have you heard what's been happening in Boston?
What, the baby jam thing?
Some patriots have really tweaked the king's nose. Apparently, they disguised themselves as clowns.
Clowns?
Yeah, that's right. Then they sneaked into the British barracks and nailed all the soldiers' boots to the floor.
And what was the point of that?
Well, it
partially damaged their boots.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the British thought that the clowns did it.
Yeah, but you see...
Oh, why must you always be the skeptic, Father? Why can't you just rejoice now that the war is about to begin and freedom's in the air?
Well, I don't know why you kids are all so fired up to go to war.
We're not kids. We're revolutionaries.
That's right.
Do you know what war is? It's hell. screaming and blood and limbs flying in all directions and everyone so irritable all the time and women getting letters and then bursting into tears. Yeah, and war, allow me to point this out, will wreak havoc on all your businesses. Every man jack of you.
Well, in actual fact,
well,
I would...
apart from you, John the Gravedigger.
And yeah. I think that I'd be...
And you, Tom the Musket Maker.
Yeah. Yeah, what about my...
And your bandage business would certainly flourish, Ben, but the point is...
War would be good for me, too.
You sell fudge.
People eat more fudge when they're frightened. Fudge and caramel, that's a well-known scientific fact. Yeah.
Very well. Well, war will be horrible for my business, because in my experience, dead people tend to shop less. And if I were you patriots, I'd keep my voice down, because you never know who's listening, and General Venables, the king's new commander, is reputed to be a vicious madman.
Fie on General Venables. We're not afraid of him.
Of course we are. He's a vicious madman.
No, we're not afraid. He's cowering behind his garrison walls in Annapolis, trembling in his stinking underwear, because he knows his days on this continent are numbered, and we're the ones doing the counting. Isn't that right, my fellow Americans?
How vicious a madman is he?
A pox on General Venables. We can't show fear.
Actually, I was supposed to go home hours ago.
Yeah, me too. Sit down!
You. For heaven's sake, Mary, you're putting yourself in the most terrible jeopardy. And I've told you many times that I don't want you holding these inflammatory meetings under my roof. Oh, damn. Oh, no, no, Mrs. Breedlove.
I'm sorry, Samuel. The children have tripped over the snuff barrel again. It is in rather a bad spot.
Yes, I see. It's right near the eggs.
Have you considered setting aside a special play area for the children as a way of preventing accidents from happening?
Uh-huh. In the meantime, perhaps you and Mr. Breedlove could think of a way yourselves.
Samuel, your daughter Cora's come across the street with her fiancé. Love is so strange. Your Cora is such a beautiful woman, and yet she's chosen to marry a man who resembles a warthog. And not a young warthog at that.
Please, Mrs. Arbuthnot, it's not your place to insult my future son-in-law. I'll see to that.
Salutations, good citizens. I bestow God's blessings on you all. What ho, Sam?
It's Samuel to you.
And greetings, Mrs. Arbuthnot, Mrs. Breedlove, Ethan, Edgar, Ruth, Patrick, Henry, Henrietta, Charlie, Joseph, little skinny earwiggy one. I'm sorry I can't seem to remember its name.
Oh, no, that's excellent, Mr. Spriggs. No one's ever gotten that far before. And I have no idea what that one's name is either. Come on, children.
Father?
Yes, Cora?
Ezekiel needs to have a few words with you concerning the guest list for our wedding banquet on Saturday.
Banquet? When did it become a banquet?
Oh, this is no time for parsimony, Sam.
Samuel.
This will be the social event of the year, which is why I've taken the liberty of adding my fellow Masons to the list.
65 extra fat men.
Please, Father. Saturday will obviously be the happiest day of my life. Why pinch pennies now?
Perhaps it would be more convenient if I paid for something, although it's not customary, of course.
No, thank you. I can manage my own daughter's wedding.
Well, we must be going, Cora. I'm needed back at work.
Already?
Oh, yes. There's constant pressure when you're the undersecretary to the assistant deputy of weights and measures.
Well, there's a constant pressure just saying it.
Father, I'd like to talk
to... Tarry not, Cora. It's starting to snow. And tarrying is the devil's caravansary on the road to the desert of damnation.
Tarrying is what?
Father, do you mind if I ask you something that's been troubling me?
About the wedding.
Yes, in a way.
You're nervous, aren't you?
Yes.
Big step, isn't it?
Yes.
And you're having second thoughts.
No.
Oh. Then what?
It's about Ezekiel.
Oh, he's old, isn't he?
No.
But he drinks. You can see those veins in his...
No, he never touches a drop.
But he could start at any moment, and the late starters are the worst.
But Father, hopers. What I really need to know is, do you like him?
Do I like him?
Yes.
Do you like him?
Well, of course I like him. Why would I marry a man I don't like? That would make me desperate and pathetic, which I'm not, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's just that I need you to like him. He likes you. He calls you Sam.
Yeah, and if he does it again, I'll just...
So please, tell me. I need to know. Do you like him?
Cora! Time is fleeting, and it ill befits a man of my standing to be burdened with the baggage of laggardly tardiness.
So, do you like him?
Cora, like isn't the word.
Oh, thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
You got any old cabbages, Father? We're making an effigy of King George, and we need a head.
Yeah. Over there, mind the egg puddle.
We need one that looks Teutonic, with pock marks and pimples.
Uh-huh.
Is something wrong, Father?
No. Well, yes, your sister was just here with him.
Ezekiel Spriggs?
Yes, she asked me if I like him.
We must pretend to be happy for her.
But I can't. I can't even say the man's name without gagging.
You can. Look, just pretend I'm Cora. Tell me you love me.
Well, that's easy. I do love you.
Yeah, but now I'm Cora.
Well, I love her, too.
But you love me more.
I love you both equally.
Even though I'm prettier?
Mary, please.
All right. So imagine I'm Cora, and tell me how excited you are for me.
I'm very excited for you, Cora.
You hope I'll be as happy as the flowers receiving God's sweet rain.
Really?
Yes, I rather like that. Say that.
I hope you'll be as happy as the flowers receiving God's sweet rain.
And then you say, and most importantly, I really, really like Ezekiel.
No, I can't. I'll vomit.
You can.
I can't. I'm feeling all... I keep having this dream that I'm a fox and I'm cornered by giant slobbering beagles. And
oh, not the beagles dream again.
Giant beagles. My world is falling apart and I've got no customers apart from the ones who squash my fruit and break my eggs. I've got a daughter who wants to take on the British Empire with a handful of stones. And I have another daughter who's marrying a human purgative. And a son who's, well, God knows where. And I've got weevils in my biscuits and muskrats in my larder. And, well, things just couldn't get any worse.
Good day to you, sir. I'm Captain Walter Brimshaw of the Grenadiers. And this is my aide-de-camp, Sergeant McGuck.
At your service.
We're looking for one Samuel Elephant.
Elephant, that's me. And this is my daughter, Mary. Greet the nice, heavily armed soldiers, Mary.
I'll have no truck with lickspittle servants of tyranny.
She's at that awkward age. She'll warm up once she gets to know you better. What can I do for you, gentlemen?
I come with formal orders requesting the billeting of myself and my sergeant on these premises under the terms of the Quartering Act of 1768.
Oh, well, that would be an honor and a privilege. But unfortunately, we're a little cramped upstairs. What with
We'd never give succor to dastardly jackals who've massacred scores of innocent women and children.
We haven't done that, miss.
No, certainly not scores.
Now, the Quartering Act...
How many is a score, sir?
20.
Oh, well, no, then she's right. Yeah, I stand corrected. Yes.
Mary, why don't you go in the back and wind up your meeting of the Cabbage Appreciation Society?
Well, don't let those bastards stay here.
Kids, what can you do, huh?
I must say, your daughter's got spirit, sir, you know, and I like that in a wench, yeah. That and a nice set of hooters.
I beg your pardon?
Sergeant, please. I'm afraid the sergeant's manners have been forged in the heat of battle.
Yeah, he looks as if he's seen quite a few battles. Some fairly recently.
Oh, I've seen my share of combat, sir. See my right arm?
No.
Precisely. Blown off. By French grape shot, or frog shot, as we jokingly call it, on the Plains of Abraham. This leg, pure oak. The original was torn off at the thigh at the Battle of Plessy by a cannonball which was meant for General Clive. My right ear is lying in the blood-soaked mud of Culloden, and I lost my left eye during a rather lively family Christmas dinner. in a dispute over a candied yam.
What about that missing nostril?
Eh? Oh, that's hereditary. Yeah. But, you see, look, I'm a survivor. I'm still here.
Yeah, well, half of you is.
So, would you be so good as to show us to our lodging?
Ah, yes, the lodging. Well, you know, if you'd only come last week before we burned all our beds, that's part of our traditional Maryland bed-burning ceremony.
McGurk doesn't require an actual bed. He can bunk in the stable.
I prefer the stable.
Well, we don't want to frighten the horses, do we? Have you tried the inn? And they have plenty of rooms with whores.
Are you saying it will be impossible for you to accommodate us?
At the present time, sadly, yes.
Very well, then. Thank you for your time, Mr. Elephant. I'll inform General Venables. Come along, Sergeant.
General Venables?
Yes. He has given orders to list the names of those merchants unable to comply.
Yeah, we're meant to paint big red skulls on the doors of all who refuse. I don't know why he wants us to do that. And I'll just get my brush out,
Hold on a minute. What was I thinking? We do have a couple of spare cots. We don't burn cots. No, we have two lovely ones up in the eaves that no one's using at the present time. So, there's really nothing to report to General Venables, is there?
Only that you've cooperated.
Exactly. Follow me.
Is it close to the larder?
Yes, it's directly above Mary's bedroom.
Ah, right. Any knot holes in the floor?
Sergeant!
Well, I don't want to jam my stunt, do I?
Yo-ho, Father! I'm home from the hunt.
Oh, good to see you, Joshua. Just in time to muck out the barn. Oh, wonderful. I see you've shot another bear.
Oh, this is not just another bear, Father. He was the king of the bears. I tracked him for days, and finally, we faced each other in a clearing. Our eyes met. We were both scared, but we respected each other because we knew we were two born hunters who were equally matched.
Apart from your having the gun.
That's right. So I blew his head off. I'll just put it down here.
How many times do I have to tell you, son, I don't like having these headless bear carcasses on the premises?
Oh, don't fret so, Father. We can turn this fella into 12 coats, 6 hats, and possibly a rather fetching codpiece. I'll skin it in the morning.
Yeah, well, can you use a knife this time? A furrier doesn't give us such a good price when there are teeth marks.
No, but with knives, where's the challenge?
Can you just come over and help me, but mind your head on that... Oh,
ow. That beam's way too low.
It's 7 feet.
Do you think I'm too big, Father?
Well, you're as big as you are, son. You just have to learn to duck.
People laugh at me.
Not to your face.
Was Mother a huge woman?
Are you helping me muck this stall out or not? It's for you, son. You're sleeping the night here.
Why? Who's in my room?
Andy diddled and he daddled in a diddly-dido with a hey diddle diddle and a jiggy jiggy woo, and he whipped out his diddle dong and dunked it in a...
Sergeant McGuff, please.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir. I'm just an irrepressible cockney sparrow, sir.
It would better serve us, Sergeant, if your manner did at all times befit an English gentleman.
I shall be the very model of decorum, sir.
Then please have the decorum to get ready for bed and stop peeping through the hole in the floorboard.
With respect, sir, I'm actually checking the floorboards for woodworm on account of my leg, you see.
What are you doing?
What? Unfastening the aforementioned limb, which is customary before retiring. Fine piece of workmanship, eh, sir? Albert Chiswick, master leg maker, made this a genius. Oh. He's the same Albert Chiswick as made the famous glass knee for the Duke of Norwich. Filled it with water, put a live goldfish inside. Both a working appendage and a conversation piece. Now, you see, but I could never afford one of those. Maybe one day...
Sergeant, could you...
Stop talking? Of course,
no,
sir.
No. Could you just cover your...
Stump, sir? Yes, I was about to, sir.
What are you doing? Just stop that.
Oh, got to do this, Captain. It evacuates the parasites. Look at them scatter. Run, you little devils. Run, run.
What is all this? Isn't it hateful enough that we offer shelter to two of King George's thugs? Do we also have to be mercilessly pummeled by incessant clanking and clunking and obscene barrack-room ditties about... Oh, well, we know what they're about.
Well, they're folk songs about gathering in the harvest.
Don't give me that. And another thing. Stop spying on me.
That wasn't me.
Then whose eye was peering down at me while I undressed for bed?
Oh, yeah, no, that was me. But it was my glass one, you see. So there's no need to get so uppity.
Miss Elephant, I must apologize for my sergeant.
If you were half a man, you'd exercise some control over your subordinates. But you're obviously just a lily-livered milksop.
Madam, there's no call for you to succumb to such intemperate vapors.
You condescending glob of English jelly. For a farthing, I'd happily see you disemboweled and your entrails hung out in the square as bunting.
Miss Elephant, may I...
It's Oliphant! Mary Oliphant, remember that. And remember that I hope you choke on the stench of your own infected bile, you bottom-feeding, sliming, crusted, maggot-infested sack of putrid rat piss.
You're in there, sir.
Well, how long will these soldiers be in my room, Father?
That's hard to say, son, till all this political tension eases between us and the British.
What tension?
You must have noticed there's mobs everywhere and redcoats in the streets.
Oh, yeah. Why are they called redcoats?
Well, because of the color of... Just pass me that pitchfork, can you?
No. Don't throw it. Oh! Whoops. Oh. Sorry. Lucky you're not as tall as me, Father. You'd have prongs in your belly.
Yes, I feel fortunate to be suspended here by my neck.
Do you think you could pry that pitchfork? Mother had a red coat. Was she British?
Actually, son, I'm sort of struggling to breathe a bit
red
here.
Red coat's my only memory of Mother. What was she like?
I'm kind of blacking out, son.
Oh, right. Oh. She was pretty, wasn't she, Father?
Well, she... Oh, look, there's a bat in the rafters.
I heard a rumor about Mother once. Oh. I heard that the Algonquin Indians saw her bathing by the river and were so overcome by her beauty and her long flaxen hair, they carried her away into the hills and made her their queen.
Yeah, well, yes, that's probably what did happen. Good, good. Glad that's sorted out then.
But I heard another rumor.
Oh, really?
That she was hanging at the washing and she was seized by trolls who dragged her underground and forced her to work in one of their body houses.
Son, you're going to hear a lot of rumors, some involving trolls, some involving Indians, some even involving acrobats. But the truth, the honest truth is that your mother upped and left one day, and I don't know where she went. And that's all there is to say.
I see. Oh, just listen to that wind. This blizzard's getting worse. I hope that doesn't bode ill for Cora's wedding. Wouldn't it be just terrible if we had to cancel it?
Oh, yeah, tragic pity. But the way this storm is setting in, on Saturday, I don't think you'll be hearing those wedding bells.
But just listen to those bells. Aren't they magnificent?
Yes, I hear them, son.
The snow's practically melted. This time yesterday, it was 2 feet deep.
Yes, I know.
But you must have sensed today with dawn like this, because you stayed so cheery yesterday, grinning and whistling, and the deeper the snow, the more you whistled, and then you turned that cartwheel.
Will you just button your big fat lip? Where's Cora? Her carriage was directly behind ours.
Well, a horse did seem to be struggling, rather. Coughing and spitting. At one point, it even stopped to thump its chest with its hoof.
Well, the smithy gave me a good price, and you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Especially when it's spraying phlegm at you.
Morning, Samuel. Gigantic Joshua. Lovely day for a wedding. Who'd have thought 2 feet of snow would melt just like that?
Just like that. Hmm.
This way to the church, Mrs. Arbuthnot. The service is about to begin.
Oh, I'm not here for the wedding. Someone forgot to invite me. So I'm just going to stand outside the church and heckle. Have you heard what's been happening in Boston?
More baby jam?
No. Apparently some brave colonials torched a British frigate and then hid on a nearby dairy farm where they disguised themselves as soft cheeses.
Soft cheeses.
Oh, yes. It's already the stuff of legend. They're calling it the Boston Brie Party.
You can say this stuff because you're old, right?
If you need me, I'll be up on the hill with all the other gawping biddies.
Morning, Mr. Oliphant.
It's Oliphant.
I said Oliphant.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Good morning, Captain. Sergeant McGurk. Why the hurry?
There's a report of a minor disturbance in the town square.
Oh, right. So I'd better cancel the wedding then and send all these guests to the safety of their houses.
No,
please. Really, it would be irresponsible not to. There could be bloodshed.
Oh, there'll be no bloodshed. General Venables has authorized the use of force only to crush treasonous resistance.
Well, what constitutes treasonous resistance?
According to the general, any effigies of the king involving the use of vegetables. Hmm.
Well, I still say we should disperse the guests. Joshua, clear the church.
Why are you so keen on cancelling this wedding?
Where is my bride? It's impertinent to make a man of my nobility wait. Look how my face powder runs with sweat.
Oh, I see why. Yeah. My condolences, Governor.
Come, Sergeant. We have military business.
Aye, aye, sir. Oh, not quite so fast. Oh, my leg's on the wobble. I think the thread's gone.
Well, that's screwing the pump, man.
Aye, aye, sir. Oh, there it goes. No chance of a piggyback, I suppose, is there, sir?
So, where is the bride, Sam? It's that sway-backed horse you leased for Cora. Probably gone lame. This is what comes of your vulgar little economies.
Yeah, well, let's just hope Cora hasn't stood you up and left you to stand humiliated at the altar.
An amusing notion, Sam. A man like me being jilted. How absurd. Spirit my bride indoors the moment she appears, Sam.
Lucky Cora. He's quite a catch, isn't he, Father?
Oh, yeah, he's a humdinger.
Hello, Father. Joshua. Wedding over yet?
Mary, I thought you were in the church.
Oh, I was, but I just nipped out to...
You've been in the town square causing mischief, haven't you?
Well, what makes you say that?
Your dress is muddy, your face is dirty, and you're holding a cabbage with a crown stuck on top of it.
And?
Oh, look, here comes the bride.
Look at me, just look at me. Mother's dress ruined, my hair all limp and stringy.
Well, where's your carriage?
Oh, the driver said he couldn't take me any further.
Well, why not?
Because he had to bury the horse.
Look how late I am. Ezekiel must be furious.
Yes, he's decided to cancel.
No, he hasn't. Come, Joshua, let's go inside. Well, this is it then, Father. Take my arm.
Right. Still going through with this then, are you?
Well, we've come this far, haven't we? Horses have given their lives.
Right. Well, in that case, there's something I'd better say to you.
Yes, Father.
I love you, Cora.
I love you too, Father.
And I hope that you'll be as happy as the flowers receiving...
God's sweet rain?
Yes, precisely. And as far as your union with
Ezekiel?
Him. The man you're marrying in a few minutes. The man who awaits you at the altar.
Yes, Father.
Did I mention I love you?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, I hope you're as happy as the flowers receiving God's sweet rain. And most importantly, I really, really loathe Ezekiel. Oh, sorry, did I say loathe?
Yes, you did.
Damn. Oh, well, still I managed to say his name. That's a start. We can probably build on that.
Revolting People featured Jay Tarsis as Samuel, Andy Hamilton as Sergeant McGurk, Sophie Thompson as Mary, and James Fleet as Captain Brimshaw. Ezekiel was played by Hugh Dennis, Cora by Felicity Montague, Joshua by Tony Maudsley, and Mrs. Arbuthnot by Susie Blake, with Penelope Nice and Michael Fenton Stevens. Revolting People was written by Jay Tarsis and Andy Hamilton, and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.